NPR News in Washington, I'm Barbara Klein. Tear gas and black smoke are filling the night sky over Cairo, Egypt at this hour as anti-government protesters clash with police for the fourth day. Today's demonstrations are the largest and continue despite a nighttime curfew. Demonstrators are hoping to take over the central Tahrir Square, home to the ruling party headquarters, the Museum of Cairo, large hotels, and other major landmarks. NPR's Soraya Sahadi-Nelson is nearby.
There are hundreds of people for sure. It's very difficult to see, not just because it's nighttime, but because there's so much tear gas. But there are definitely protesters in the square. I can hear the rattling of barricades. So there's a lot of surging forward and then surging back as the tear gas gets to be too much. That popping sound you're hearing is, in fact, tear gas canisters. And a few occasions I've heard what sounds like live fire.
The Obama administration continues to call the protests an opportunity for reform. This past hour, White House spokesman Robert Gibbs said the U.S. is urging the Egyptian government to seize the opportunity.
We will be reviewing our assistance posture based on events that take place in the coming days.
Egypt is one of the top recipients of U.S. aid. The State Department, meanwhile, is urging travelers to postpone travel to Egypt. An American man in Pakistan is charged with murdering two people in Lahore yesterday. Pakistani police say Raymond Davis, an American consulate employee, shot and killed two men riding on a motorcycle. Davis, who reportedly told officials he acted in self-defense, will remain in custody for 6 days. The U.S. economy gained strength at the end of last year. According to the Commerce Department, gross domestic product grew at a rate of 3.2% in the fourth quarter. As NPR's Tamara Keith reports, it shows strong growth in the broadest measure of the U.S. economy.
Consumer spending was a major driver of the growth, up 4.4%. But equipment investment, exports, and even residential investment all showed gains, says Brian Bethune, chief U.S. financial economist for IHS Global Insight.
When you add all of those things up, the underlying story is, in fact, very positive.
Other positive signs? He says productivity was up and there were no hints of inflation. And Bethune says the growth is likely to continue through 2011.
There's some evidence that there's some sustainability in this.
Still, other economists warn an economic growth rate in the low 3% range isn't enough to meaningfully bring down unemployment. Tamara Keith, NPR News, Washington.
Investors on Wall Street don't seem impressed with the GDP either. Just before the close, the Dow was down 161 points at 11,828. The Nasdaq was off 67 at 2688. This is NPR. Former South African President Nelson Mandela is out of the hospital. Doctors in Johannesburg say the 92-year-old Nobel Peace Laureate is responding well to treatment for a respiratory infection. 25 years ago today, Space Shuttle Challenger lifted off from Kennedy Space Center in Florida, and 73 seconds later, it exploded. All 7 astronauts on board were killed. NASA held a memorial ceremony at Cape Canaveral earlier today. As Judith Smeltzer of member station WMFE reports, June Scobie Rogers, the widow of Challenger's commander, called for keeping Challenger's education mission alive.
The Challenger flight was supposed to be all about science education, with crew member Krista McAuliffe becoming the nation's first teacher in space. June Scobie Rogers, who was married to Challenger Commander Dick Scobie, said family members of the fallen astronauts wanted to do something to advance the education mission.
The entire world knew how the Challenger crew died. We wanted the world to know how they lived and for what they were risking their lives.
So she helped start a network of almost 50 centers around the country where students and their teachers can experience spaceflight simulations and work together on science experiments. They're called the Challenger Centers for Space Science Education. For NPR News, I'm Judith Smeltzer in Orlando.
Britain's Andy Murray is heading to the Australian Open tennis final after winning today's match in Melbourne.
I changed my tactics well in the second and third sets. Yeah, very happy to come through because it was a really, really tough match. It could have gone either way.
No British male has won a Grand Slam singles title since 1936. The final is Sunday. I'm Barbara Klein, NPR News in Washington.
Support for